and please take a look at the agenda and let me know if you think there's anything to add. We could talk about the recommendations, but my guess is we're probably going to have a full meeting without talking about recommendations, and I'd just as soon wait for Emily on that one. So anything to add?
To the agenda, was that the question, Kathy?
Yes.
If I think I saw Sharon is on the in the Adobe room. I would love to quickly touch base on the law enforcement submissions. I gave the GAC a deadline, and I've received a number, and I just wanted to talk with Sharon about preparing a summary, because I gather that was the approach that the team agreed in Singapore. So if we could have a brief discussion about that, what the team might expect and how Sharon and I can go about doing it, that would be excellent.
Sure. Although I don't see Sharon on, maybe I'm delayed. Sharon, are you on the line with us?
Oh, maybe I misread.
I see Susan.
I'm here.
I must have just seen an S and thought, great, she's here. Okay.
If she comes on, that makes a lot of sense. Or can we just add that as an update from you on,
sure,
on what's happening with the law enforcement? That would be,
sure,
great. In fact, would anyone mind if we started with that? Would that be okay, Peter? I don't view agendas as all that formal. I apologize, because I would love to hear what's happening with the law enforcement. But I remember Sharon had said she wouldn't be at the last meeting. So I think it's pretty early her time, so I didn't think she'd come to this one. So, Peter, your choice. A comment now, or we'll wait and see if she comes online?
Let's do it now, and then it's done. I gave the GAC a deadline that asked the GAC members to provide submissions for law enforcement paper by the same deadline as we gave for the for our public issues or discussion paper, whatever we ended up calling that in the end. So I've received 5. I know that there's at least a few that have advised me that they've given theirs to Sharon, and I know Sharon had told me that she already had quite a few. So in Singapore, Sharon and I asked the review team how they wanted to receive these, and as I recall, the request was for a summary. So I've been trying to get in touch with Sharon to talk about how we do that. I know Sharon has a funny thing with her email sometimes, so I'm not 100% sure I've been using the right email address, but I think I have. But I will try to get in touch with her again and talk about how we prepare a summary and so on.
Peter, I get bounced by Sharon's email all the time, and I started just sending emails via Emily and asking her to forward them to Sharon, because she's not blocked. She's never blocked anything to Sharon.
Okay. I will do that. That's a great tip. Thank you.
Sure. Great. Does anybody... So let me ask, are the law enforcement responses confidential? Are they something that we can put... can we put the full response in the public record as well as using a summary, or is there a request really not to put the full response in the public record?
I am not aware of any requests from any of them not to put it on the public record. So I assume it can be. I think that was always the intention, that we would prepare a summary for people and then there would be the full documents available. I guess I'll check with Sharon if she's heard from people otherwise and so on. So I'll put that on my list of things to discuss with Sharon. But I guess I'd been working on the assumption that people would give us things that which were going to be public.
And I've not
seen anything to indicate otherwise. So,
does anyone have any thoughts about summaries versus full responses?
This is Olaf here, and good morning to everybody.
Good morning, Olaf. Thank you for being on so early.
Well, what we actually do, and I'm busy doing right now for the public comment summary, is not to make a summary, but to make the full text chopped up in the pieces related to the questions. And I was about to ask you about it, whether you were interested in receiving the full works. It becomes very lengthy, but maybe it's of interest, and then we compress it, of course, to make a summary of it as well.
Oh, so, I would like
just
to...
on the top.
Sorry, this is Tim. I would like to actually see the full responses.
It is lengthy, but then again, compared to reading it by contribution, it may be helpful, in particular at this stage in your process. So I'd be happy to provide that, as well as a little later the more compacted summary, reduced to a third or something like that.
Yeah, Olaf, I like that idea of like, so it you would divide it up, Olaf, into organize it by like each section of the paper.
Exactly, and exactly like we've done the summaries before, but only we have not bothered sort of bugging you with the full intermediate. Intermediate document with all the text in it.
Yeah.
Since I'm already half done with it, why not at least offer the opportunity?
I think it would be great. I've only read a few of the comments, but it was obvious that people put a lot of thought and work into the comments. And so I would appreciate that.
Okay, sold.
But let me just check. I think we're talking about two different sets of
yes.
comment responses, right? The first, Peter was talking about law enforcement, and
yes.
Olaf, I believe you're talking about the public comments now
Indeed.
Posted on the ICANN website. So the
yes.
full comments are available to us and to the world right now from
yeah.
the 26 people who submitted comments to our discussion paper, right?
Yeah, that's what I was referring to, and that's why I was saying I've only read a few of them. I haven't tried to read all of them yet.
Hi, who's just joined us?
Oh, that's Tim. I'm just agreeing.
Okay.
I was referring to the same thing as the public comments.
And just to make it abundantly clear, that was what I was referring to, too. Just as as an association to the topic addressed, which is of course the law enforcement comment.
Right. So, Peter, thanks for going back to check with Sharon whether it would be possible to make the full responses part of an appendix or something like that for us to review as well as for the public to review. But a summary is certainly the easiest way for the review team, I think, to kind of put their hands around it. Which is great.
Sure. Yep. Look, I'll, that's on my list. And just as preliminary, most of them they're very consistent. So I think there's a pretty common message coming through from the ones that I've seen anyway.
Okay. Great. Thank you. And now for whoever's come on, we're kind of off topic on the agenda. We've added something to the beginning of the agenda. Peter was talking about the law enforcement and GAC comments that they've received for the law enforcement questionnaire that he and Sharon were distributing. And Olaf has taken us to a next topic that we really should discuss, which is the excellent, excellent comment responses that we got to the discussion paper during the public comment period from the ICANN community. And, you know, congratulations to everybody in Singapore. You really rallied people to come to the table and sit down and write something. And that's really hard in the ICANN world because there are always so many other things competing for people's attention. So congratulations. I thought we had an excellent, excellent response, both from CCTLDs. We've gotten, I counted six CCTLDs that responded, and then, of course, a number of GNSO constituencies and communities responding. And ALAC had come to us, to Alice, Olaf, me, and Emily, and said, we need an extension of our time to respond, and we're like, well, you guys, you know, we'll read it when you submit it, but the sooner the better. And they got theirs in today. So so that's great. And, you know, raised some interesting questions that I circulated. So I think everybody's comments are in, which is terrific. Is there anything else? You know, I would encourage people, as Link said, that the comments are really, really interesting and very, very diverse. So if you have some extra time, I'd really encourage you to take a look at some of the comments that came in. James, go ahead.
Yes, Kathy, thanks. James speaking. I agree. I was just skimming some of them. I certainly did not give them the time that they deserved, as I was just kind of hitting the highlights. So what is our plan to, I mean, certainly I know that in the past staff has provided a summary and analysis, but, you know, I guess I'm with you. I want to make sure that everyone has a chance to review them as much in depth as possible, because I think there's a lot of new things that we perhaps may have discussed in a cursory fashion, but didn't give them our full attention. We got distracted maybe with some other meatier subjects, but the community, I think, obviously wants us to take a look at some other subjects as well. So just want to echo your encouragement. I look forward to the staff summary and documents.
I actually had a question, and Olaf, how far are you in the summary of the comments? Let me ask that before I...
Well, in the summary, or rather the first compilation of punching up or divvying up all the comments into related to the respective questions, perhaps done tomorrow with that, or rather today, whatever you call today, 27th.
Okay.
So, James, in case you didn't hear, we're going to send out the full works, all of the text, divided by the respective questions and per contributor, before actually making the summary of it all, in order for you to have the full text in perhaps a more easily readable format than going through contribution by contribution.
That makes sense. Oh, okay. Given that, let me raise something I was thinking of earlier today and see what people think. Would we like to divide up among ourselves, particularly among people maybe who aren't writing report sections right now, to take a deeper dive into the comments? We could do it by question. We could do it by GNSO issues versus CCNSO examples that have been given to us. There are different ways to divide it up, but would we like to take a crack maybe in sub-teams? Small teams, not official sub-teams, but, you know, a group of two or three people to look at a certain type of question, because there's a lot of implications for this discussion paper and these questions for the chapters we're writing now.
Yeah, just the ones I've read, it was clear to me that we've really got to review these well before we actually... you know, even draft our report. I mean, we have a good skeleton in our report, but I feel the same way. I mean, there's been some... I mean, it accomplished what we wanted it to, is that it really solicited a lot of ideas and feedback that we needed.
Can I just very... very quickly interrupt, and it is just maybe a completely stupid question, but are we actually recording this meeting?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay.
Yeah, Alice, are you with us?
Yes, we are recording the meeting.
Okay, great. Thanks.
Yes.
Sorry.
Given that, and I think we've got two deadlines then, because we have promised to Emily the deadline on our report. We have a deadline at the end of the month for at least the draft of our report sections. They can certainly be revised, but the framework, the outline, and some of the text is due at the end of the week. But we do have this new set of comments that should help inform and may, I don't know, what do people think? I think in some ways maybe we can draft some of what we need to draft and still be reviewing the comments because the deadline just ended. But there are these two competing deadlines here.
Yeah, Kathy, it's Peter here. I think this is a really important point. From my perspective, I've been reading the law enforcement submissions, and we've just started working through the public submissions. But the section of the report, I don't know how other people feel, but I feel that with the bit that I'm drafting, the gap analysis, to do a job on of this that is like a reasonable job, I'm going to need to be across all these submissions. Not only because they raise excellent points, but because these will form a key part of our evidence or argument, I guess, that there is a gap. People, you know, in some cases it's quite clear because there's a requirement and there's a study that says that, you know, there's an issue, like accuracy being the example that I was jumps into my head there. But with a lot of these other ones, like, we're going to be hearing from the community what they think problems are. You know, where is the gap between expectation and reality? And it, the expectation, I guess, is at least partly from my point of view going to be in these submissions. So I've been beavering away on my part of the report, but to be honest, I'm not sure I'm going to get there by the end of the month with something that I'm even happy to speculate. But I can put that on the table.
This is Lynn again. I mean, I think my feeling is that it would be a better use of time for us to focus on really thoroughly reviewing all these comments we've received, because whatever drafting we do now on the final report, I think we're going to end up rewriting it in order to do justice. As Peter said, I mean, some of the ones I've read have specific examples, and that was my reaction too, that here are you know, evidence, if you will, of gaps and issues with the current implementation of the policy.
Kathy, this is Susan, and I am not drafting anything right now, so I would welcome the opportunity to dive deeper, and if you want to give me a framework, if you know what you want to see, or you just want to hear, you know, sort of get an idea of what the most important issues have been addressed in the comments.
Sorry, guys, I'm back on. I apologize for missing Susan and whoever else spoke.
Well, I was just volunteering. This is Susan. So I was just volunteering to do that deeper dive. But if you have some, you know,
great
sort of framework you want in how you want it done, just let me know.
Okay. Is there anyone else who wants to volunteer for the deeper dive? Kim, Michael?
Yeah, actually, I wanted to just join in with Susan's suggestion that, I mean, I'm not drafting anything either, so I certainly have cycled to help with the deeper dive, I suppose, and
great,
would be happy to do so.
Stay with me, Ms. Paul.
Excellent. Can I recommend that we all take a look when Olaf, And we'll put it out for the rest of the list as well, of course. But maybe we'll take a look when Olaf's question, when his division by question comes out, where he's matching the answers with the questions, and see what makes a logical, what makes a good division, whether you want to do the whole, whether you want everyone to do the whole report, or just take each person take a different set of issues and look at them. It may be too early to decide that right now.
Yes.
Okay?
Yep.
Cool. So thank you, Kim, Michael, and Susan, on that. That will be great. And thank you, Olaf, for the starting point on that. So in terms, that kind of leads nicely to the, let's see, where are we on the agenda? To the update on chapters. And talking because the comments do inform a lot of what we'll be doing, but also the chapters in a lot of ways have to set the stage for, and I believe, and I wanted to talk about it, have to do a lot of explaining to the public, because I was thinking about this, and one of the issues that's come up, but you guys are much more informed having been in Singapore, one of the issues that comes up again and again and again is that there are people who are new to the Who Is issues, and are kind of seeing the issues anew or replaying issues that have been debated for many years. There are people who have been in it much too long, like me, and I think we have to draft it for all audiences. I wasn't sure if someone was in the queue. So it seems to me that at least one of the things we can do in the sections that we're drafting, and maybe do now even while we're reviewing the comments, is set the stage for what the issue is and why it's important, and maybe what some different sides are, or different perspectives and concerns, just to provide that perspective, that overview, so that readers with all sorts of backgrounds can come in and understand the issues. Is that reasonable, or do people have other types of approaches?
Hi, Kathy. It's Peter here. That sounds pretty sensible to me, and I guess that's sort of the approach that I've been taking so far with the gap analysis. So I guess because I'm drafting what is almost the last section, I guess to some extent I'll be relying for that stage to be set by the previous sections. But at the same time, I'm going to try to be drawing out the important issues, and I'll be trying to put forward if there is both sides of an argument and so on, and sort of working through that way, exactly as you said.
Makes sense. Sharon, Lynn, James, how's it going? Sharon's not on. Lynn, James, how's it going on your sections?
Well, for me, on the consumer trust, my energy has been focused on the RFP effort.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, I really have not started drafting anything. I feel that I can put some preliminary information down, but I am relying on that research study and the comments, and it does look like we got feedback in the comments.
Definitely. James, anything to share?
Just that I haven't acknowledged what I'm assigned to do. I have not had a chance to begin drafting yet. And I don't anticipate any problems, but it's just a question of finding a place to squeeze it in.
Yeah, for all of us, and I have the same confession. I've just really started with scope and methodology, and we'll be drafting this week, like everybody else. Let's see, but I am looking forward to tapping the people doing the deep dive into the comments, and I think you guys will be a great resource for those of us who are drafting the chapters, because in addition to whatever you might write, hopefully it'll be okay to kind of send you email or call you and say, you know, did you see anything on this particular issue that I'm wrestling with in the chapter?
Kathy, this is James. Can I just
jump
in on that point? I am concerned a little bit about dividing that, I think that, we should be looking for a divide and conquer wherever we can to save labor, but I think I would be very cautious against dividing between the folks who are writing and the folks who are reading. I think that, in order for the folks to write intelligently, they need to be reading as well. So, I include myself in that. I want to make sure that we're not being too rigorous in separating those functions.
Yeah.
I think that makes sense.
Yeah.
Yes. This is Kim. Yeah. I mean, I absolutely agree with James, but I mean, I thought the deep dive was just as a second set of eyes for the drafters of the chapters. That's how I understood it, but I might have misunderstood.
Well, that worked for me, Kim and others. I wanted to just be cautious that we weren't, just like I said, too rigorously separating those. That's all.
Yeah, I would agree too, James. This is Susan, but I'm hoping that maybe we can do some of the grunt work and then point things out to you and say, what about this? And I would imagine a lot of people, or most of the team, will actually review a lot of these comments, but they may not be able to do it in real depth. So if we can be of help at all, that's sort of the way I would see the role.
Okay. Thanks for clarifying.
Something to also think about is whether we want to add another section. And I'm not suggesting this with a definite answer in mind, but whether we might want to add another section to the report, because there's a lot of CCNSO response, and that might be something we want to use. I'm not sure how, I'm not sure where, but it might be something useful as a presentation, given how much we've gotten back. We've gotten lots and lots of different examples from my quick survey of the 6 comments out there. Just a question: everybody reviewing the comments, how we can use that data? What might be a constructive way to present it and use it in our analysis, and also to share it with the community? Because that's never happened before. Generally, because we're a global review team, we're kind of creating a type of dialogue, particularly in the Who Is area, across advisory committees, across supporting organizations, across communities, that hasn't existed before. And this, from my perspective, this is kind of a historic event, and it's absolutely fascinating. So I'll make a note and put that down as something to discuss in a future meeting, an additional chapter or section. Anything further to discuss on the final report at this time? Does anybody have thoughts, questions, concerns, comments, anything we should brainstorm together as a team on that?
Hi, it's Peter here. I just wanted to check on the consumer trust issue. If Lynn was aware of the work I assume she is, I just wanted to make sure there's some work being done in the GNSO on competition, consumer trust, and consumer choice. So you're aware of that work, Lynn? And I gather a meeting in Singapore and so on. I'm only just getting up to speed on it, but I just wanted to make sure that others were also aware.
That
there's things going on in different parts of the ICANN world, and they do cross over.
Yep, and it looks like that actually the ICANN staff or management did a good job of making sure that there's not a duplication of effort, that each study or research that's been funded, they complement each other. They're definitely interrelated, but it looks like they did take care to make sure we're not duplicating effort.
No, that's good to hear. Yep.
And I do think we have to be aware and stay looped in with the other efforts. I just don't know that they'll have results in the time frames that we would need to be able to consider in our report.
Interesting. Lynn, how did they manage to craft it so that the efforts are complementary and not contradictory?
I don't know. That's my words, Kathy, that, okay. When I looked at them, that was my perception. But they each... none of them appear to me to be duplicating each other, and Olaf might have an opinion on that, but you can kind of see it laid out in the way they funded them in the budgeting.
Interesting. Olaf, any comment? Would it make any sense to talk to some of the people in the GNSO who are working on these efforts? One person, and she's out of the NCUC, she's on council, is Rosemary Sinclair from Australia. And I know she comes from a major consumer organization there, and she's very active in these issues. Of course, I wasn't in Singapore, but she led an effort, and she led a discussion in Brussels, and then I think it continued in San Francisco. Lynn, would it be useful to get for me to introduce you? Or?
Oh, yeah, of course. And, you know, absolutely. And I'm trying my best to, you know, reach out and talk to as many people as I can. I will say that Liz Gaster and Denise Michelle have also been very helpful in, you know, at least connecting me to, you know, people involved with other related Who Is work as it concerns consumers. So that's been very helpful.
And it's certainly a question.
Sorry for not responding earlier. I was heavily on mute and I didn't realize. So, well, actually, that would have been my first suggestion to touch base again with Liz. And, of course, there have been a lot of preparatory work for years before crafting the various studies on Who Is. That was what emerged from what one could say a standoff a number of years ago between those pro and this, that, and the other solution. And the agreement was to launch, to consider a number of studies. And that was weeded through fairly thoroughly by the GNSO, by staff and so on, until we reached today's situation.
But it's a really good question, and one that I hear again and again is, are we the Who Is review team somehow circumventing? And for people who don't understand the big picture, they see the same issue being dealt with in different places, and they're kind of, I've heard it asked whether we were stepping on the toes of other groups looking at consumer trust, and I tried to assure people we weren't. But that will be, that's going to be an interesting one to deal with in the chapter, Lynn.
Yeah, I don't have it right in front of me, Kathy, but I will be glad to. I know I have a couple of emails that, you know, list, I think it's three or four Who Is studies, and I'll be glad to circulate that to the group just so that you guys are all aware of them. But, I mean, I felt reassured that ours specifically supports, like, what we've been tasked to do. The other studies each have a specific objective and purpose. So just because they're on different facets of Who Is doesn't, you know, ours is not intended to be like some all-encompassing Who Is consumer study. Ours is, you know, very specifically scoped to what we have to get done. And these other studies are too. But I think, since I don't have it right in front of me, I think maybe that's the most productive thing. I'll dig out that information and circulate it.
Makes sense. Great. Thank you, Lynn. And I'll introduce you. I'll send an email introducing you to Rosemary.
Yeah, thanks.
Great. Peter, great question. Any other issues or questions or comments about the chapters? Okay. Susan, would you have a minute to share with us how the implementation subteam visit to the ICANN compliance team went?
Sure. I think it went very well. Bill, I, and James traveled down, and Denise, Michelle, and we met most of Thursday, probably about, I don't know, from 9 to 3, with Amy, and I can't remember her last name, but she's the Deputy General Counsel for ICANN, Maggie, Khalil, and Stacy Burnett. And I think there was a lot of concern on their part of what we might be coming in to do and ask. And we did have a full agenda, which I did share with you. And for most of the morning, they presented what they do in their compliance activities with the Who Is, and gave us a pretty good look at how they review a registrar for compliance in providing the Port 43 access, and how they monitor how often a registrar's Who Is access is down. And for the most part,
the registrars get a good sort of an A grade. There's a few. I think they said there was like five. And James, jump in if I'm remembering this wrong. But there was in the compliance audit they did there was five that did not respond, and then they take those. I think they're still working on those to actually, you know, get a response and or take a compliance action. They do an audit once a year. And there's, you know, there was one of the things that I think came out of it, well, and then they also manage the inaccuracy reports that any individual can report to ICANN that a domain registration is inaccurate. And those are passed on to the individual registrars to manage that process. One thing I did come out of the meeting with is that they don't have very much to hang over. They have nothing to hang over the head of a registrant. That's all left to the registrar. And so they can't take a compliance action against a registrant for inaccuracy who is or, you know, frequent. You know, repeated inaccurate who is records, and then also they can't do much. They don't have any tools really to do much to a registrar except issue a notice of breach, which is pretty extreme. So they are working on some other ways of dealing with non-compliant registrars and registrants, but for the most part, it's going to be the registrar. They also don't get information back on once an inaccurate whois report is made to ICANN. They pass it on to the registrar, and the registrar doesn't have a whole lot of responsibility to tell them exactly what happened. They will say that it's handled. They have a responsibility to do that, but there isn't. So there's no statistics really being kept on if people do comply once they're told that their registration is inaccurate. So I think it's sort of what I came away with feeling is the good registrars act in a very responsible way, and the bad registrars know that not much is going to happen to them. James, did you have something you wanted to add to that?
Thank you.
Maybe he's not there. So we did, so in the afternoon...
I'm sorry, I was on mute. I'm sorry.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, James.
I mean, I can just take a step back. I was just, you know, I came away with some things that were different. I mean, I think having a different perspective, I noticed, for example, that there's this question of not just accuracy, but also accessibility that I think... you know, that we could stand to understand more about what ICANN's role is in ensuring that there's access to WHOIS, not just that the contents of the WHOIS data is accurate. I also didn't come away feeling that there was any ongoing compliance activity with respect to the obligations of registries. I thought that was
a
separate issue that, or maybe a kind of a glaring omission that we were hoping to see something, but it was almost exclusively directed at registrars. You know, just somewhat extraneous to this effort is that GoDaddy submitted recently a list of recommendations to ICANN Compliance on how to improve their WHOIS data reporting system. And I was encouraged to see that ICANN Compliance was very receptive to some of those suggestions, since GoDaddy had recently undertaken an internal review of its own systems and found a lot of different ways to improve that system. But again, and I think Susan alluded to this, is, you know, are we the large registrars who are playing by the rules and spending all their own time and money? I think the question is, are we being foolish? Or made to look foolish by the folks who aren't doing those things and aren't living up to their obligations. I was also encouraged that compliance is examining what we would call, and I think what registrars have been asking for in quite a while, is the graduated sanctions
you know, it's kind of like they're walking around with this strongly worded letter and the death penalty, and there's nothing in between when they detect a bad registrar. I think we'd like to see more. It was encouraging to see that they're discussing more options in between that can gradually make life more difficult for a non-compliant registrar until they either correct themselves or are terminated, and that the termination then comes at the end of a process of escalation. But overall, I think, you know, when Kathy and I presented that inventory of who is policy areas that we found in San Francisco, I didn't really see them going too far outside of those things that we presented, and in fact, I think that they are, the ICANN compliance is monitoring even less than that if you take the registry obligations off the table.
I would agree with that, because we did, at the very end, you had brought up the registry element, and we didn't get much of a response from them. Sort of on a, you know, sort of what touched home for me, too, is that I did present some of the I have with the who is and inaccurate who is and not knowing when to report something and when not. I don't use the tool that much because, to tell you the truth, I haven't had a lot of faith in it. And they were surprised at all the different types of inaccurate data that I run into and how people purposely put inaccurate data. I mean, I can always pull up several examples of people giving all of Facebook's domain registration information except the servers, and then also sometimes the exception of the email address. So they don't even care if they control the domain name. They just want it to look like it's Facebook when it's not. And so people, you know, I mean, those are bad actors that are doing that. Is that, you know, predominant in the who is record? Probably not, but it's definitely an issue. And it seems like if someone's trying to be completely fraudulent, that we should have stronger actions to take against the registrar, and there just is none. So,
well, you know, Susan, this is Lynn. Verizon and AT&T in the ICANN meetings have described a similar experience to yours.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, my sense is that well-known brands or people that or companies that have like a large presence on the internet are targets. And
right.
So I don't think you're alone, but I think just because of Facebook being high profile on the internet, you're targeted. But again, I don't think you're alone. And I think other well-known brand names on the internet are experiencing similar things. Or that's what I've heard there from several of those companies. And then I wonder how many companies there are that aren't participating in ICANN that are having that kind of experience, but, you know, maybe they're not directly participating in ICANN. Maybe they're relying on, you know, companies like Mark Monitor to represent them.
Right.
Or different associations like the banking group has BITS and... so it may not be individual companies. It's like a collection of businesses.
No, I would agree, and I've seen that. You know, I've you know, experienced the same thing with eBay and PayPal.
Yeah.
And you know, so we, you know, I think.
And then we've heard, you know, before I forget, in the nonprofit world, that's where we've heard from, you know, the Red Cross participation there in ICANN. That they're certainly experiencing that type of thing too.
And I think that, you know, it has hit home for the compliance team, and you know, just to see issues that they were not aware of really. And so and I had actually done this at the Singapore meeting, but just to invite them to come talk to Silicon Valley companies, for example, because I mean, I could invite them to Facebook
and hold a meeting there. And so they were open to that, too. So I think the compliance team really wants to do help more and to do more, but they only have so many tools to do that with and so many resources. So, you know, I think what we need to do is probably advocate for reasonable resources for their team, because it once this hits 500 new GTLDs, we're going to be dead in the water. So,
and we'll certainly complicate life.
Yes.
Do you think? Go ahead.
Oh, it's just Peter here. This has been so interesting, and thank you so much, James and Susan, for this summary. I'm just wondering. I mean, my immediate, just from out of what you said, like I've been just writing down some possible recommendations. But I'm wondering, I come to a process question. Because we want to be supportive of the compliance team, who've obviously been very forthcoming in problems or issues that they're experiencing and how they're doing things, how are we going to be able to write up in the report these sort of areas that relate to compliance or implementation issues? I guess we're going to have some difficulty potentially quoting the compliance team from having visited them and so on. But for example, with the question of graduated sanctions or compliance activities related to registries, how are we going to get to writing those up in our report? Maybe that's an obvious question, but I'm just not sure.
I don't think it's an obvious question. It's a great question. I'm not sure the answer is obvious at all.
I mean, to me, these are like findings, mm-hmm. you know, that as we have gone about our work to evaluate the effectiveness and the implementation of the policy here, you know, these are some findings on that specific point.
I mean, in this case, maybe James and I could work on just writing this up, James and I and Bill. Actually, Bill was there, too. So, you know, if that would be a help to the team.
Oh, I think that would be a huge help. And again, let me echo the thanks that you've already heard for taking the time for going down to Marina Del Rey and for having this extensive meeting. It's excellent, and it's core to what we've been asked to do under the Affirmation of Commitments. So to the extent that you could write a summary or even a report, doesn't have to be long, that we can publish or make available as part of the formal meeting notes as a meeting that took place by members of the WHOIS review team. And also my guess is that this type of report will probably make it into the final report in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah. So, James, I'll take the first whack at it and then send it your way, and then maybe we can have Bill, you know, review it too and add his take on it. Does that work for you?
Yeah. In fact, I was going to volunteer others in a way, and saying that, you know, with, you know, I can proceed on this, but I probably should continue with the inventory of the existing policy.
Right.
But I would certainly be, so I guess I will be participating in this effort, but I wouldn't want to put myself out there as the lead, because I'm afraid I'll just fall down on this. And, you know, I think that this fits. You know, going back to what Peter said, I think that he's identified the challenge that we have with this. And I think that, you know, it goes back to that challenge that in many respects, this team is not reviewing WHOIS. We are reviewing ICANN and its handling of WHOIS. And so I think that, you know, where to establish that demarcation in our findings and our recommendations, I think, Peter, will be the challenge that we're going to have to keep in mind as we go forward.
Good point, James.
Yeah, it's a very good point, Omar, here.
And so, again, thank you, you know, to the implementation sub-team for coming up with great questions, a great agenda, and having a meeting that was clearly very needed. And just that is a major step forward. No one's ever had a meeting like that with the compliance team. So
thanks to the the staff. They were excellent hosts. They were very forthcoming. I think that they did their best to answer everything we asked them to prepare in advance, and most of the stuff we asked them to come up with on the fly, and they took us to a nice restaurant the night before, so no complaints about staff.
It was all the dinner, huh? No, I think the staff was, I think they were a little bit worried about how the meeting would go, but, you know, we kept emphasizing that we wanted to work with them. And I think I at least will continue to have an ongoing relationship with the compliance team even after I'm off the WHOIS review team, just because it's so important to Facebook's business, too. I mean, we've had some compliance issues that I've had to go to them for within the UDRP realm. So
that's great, and I don't want to overstep, but you know, if it's possible within the report to include some kind of sense of the receptiveness of the compliance team or the outreach that they're willing to do, or just something that gives people, you know, a sense of the tenor and tone of the meeting that you had, that would be very useful, I'm sure, to the community as well.
Yeah. Okay. Definitely.
Great.
That.
Great. Okay. Anything else on the meeting with compliance? Okay. The next item on the agenda. Oh, Omar, your hand is raised.
Hi, Kathy.
Hi, Omar.
I just said I agree with Peter.
Oh, okay. Great. Okay,
I'm
just wanted to see.
Okay. I'm following the discussion.
Okay, great. The next item on the agenda is something, Michael. I think you wanted to share with us an update on the status of the data protection laws in Russia, and then if other people have similar types of updates, feel free. But, Michael, I think there was something you wanted to share.
Yes, I will try to be very brief, and it's about the very high level of criticism which existed and does exist in Russia as for the current law on data protection. I did participate in developing the first Russian law on data protection 5 years ago when I was in the federal service. But unfortunately, when I resigned and finally the text was drafted also by the people from FSB, it became a law on protection of commercial interests on certain certification authorities linked with the FSB managers rather than the protection of personal data. And unfortunately, that is why it was of little help for us, for example, in the WHOIS review team, because there was no efficient data protection in Russia, and that is why it was very difficult for me somehow to coordinate what we are doing and what can be taken from the Russian experience of data protection and in the domain sphere in particular. So unfortunately, we did our best to convince our president, and we gave him a lot of information that this situation should be changed for the better. He gave such instructions after the meeting with the internet community in April, and the current law was redrafted, and it was discussed in the State Duma, the Russian parliament, how it should work. But unfortunately, very unfortunately, just a couple of days before the deadline, the FSB, our security service, introduced a number of amendments that just return the situation to the current status. And it also shows how weak the current Russian President Medvedev is, and how strong and influential the secret police is here in Russia. And finally, we have the same, almost the same regulation that we had for the last couple of years. It is not efficient. It cannot be applicable to who is, to domain topics, etc. And yesterday, Medvedev did sign this final text, the final federal law, which shows that he even just agreed that his order was not fulfilled by FSB and by the government, which also shows his real place, real position in the Russian political system. But I would like also to tell you the things that are currently under development in Russia. It's a number of scandals related with the Russian search engines. It's a very recent story. It is not directly linked with what we are doing and what we are reviewing here, but it's the story that the Russian search engine, which is called Yandex, which is a rough equivalent of the American Google, and it's around 70% of the market share in Russia. I mean that 70% of the people, they use Yandex rather than Google or other search engines. They made available to the public all short messages from one big mobile operator, which was a week ago. Then it revealed the information from many internet on.
Hello?
Oh, what happened?
They cut him off.
Boy, I hate to sound scary, but it did roll over to the top of the hour, and I know that some folks, if they're using mobile phones, they automatically cut off.
Really?
Does it really?
At least that's from PDP experience, that mobile phones will have a time. I don't know. I don't want to assume.
I wanted to hear the story.
Yeah, me too. I was...
Well, I assume Michael's going to dial back in. In the meantime, Lynn... And we'll ask him to finish the story because, like you, I'd like to hear the end. But maybe we should move on to our next agenda item before anybody else gets cut off, unless anybody objects. Lynn, would you like to talk about how the RFP is going?
Sure, and I'll stop if Michael is able to reconnect. Oh, there he is.
Wait,
maybe.
Michael,
hello,
are you
hello.
Back?
Excuse me.
You should know we were all waiting to hear the end of the story.
Yep.
Yeah, so it will be brief. And finally, today, this early in the morning, we have received information that the search engine also indexed some classified information from the portals of the Russian federal institutions. And this creates a very heavy discussion on the privacy, on the identification of internet users and on the behavior of search engines, including Yandex, including Google, including Bing, and including the company where I am currently working with, which also has its search engine. So I predict that in the next couple of weeks, everything that is related with the data protection it will be a very hot topic for the Russian politicians and legal experts.
When did the story break, Michael, on the search engine, on Yandex?
When?
When?
It started a week ago.
Oh, my gosh. Okay. Now, we were all very, you know, we were saying when you were offline that we were all very, very interested in what you were saying.
Yeah, so it's I never heard that something like occurred somewhere in the United States with Google, for example, but it's a mixture of privacy issues, of identification issues, and the overall what the search engine in the Internet can do and what it cannot do. I will keep you updated.
Yeah,
please
right.
do.
Omar here. If you want, I can give you a short update about Brazilian law.
That'd be great.
Okay. Well, right now we're in a critical discussion about penal laws and civil laws. It's a clash between them. And these laws about the internet, specific laws. We still don't have both. We are dealing with existing laws. The penal law is almost approved, but many are starting to act against, even with a massive denial of service we have from, coincidentally, Singapore's meeting 2 weeks after.
Mm-hmm.
One of the points is the need to keep connection data for 3 years. It's a role for the service providers in general. We are in a turning point, legally speaking. New formal crimes should born in some time. It's our situation here, a legal mess.
Interesting. Thank you. Are they asking you for your opinion on these issues?
Yes, yes.
Of course.
I have to go to Brasilia several times.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're lucky to have both you and Michael and have you shaping the laws of your countries. That's phenomenal, and we wish you success.
Yeah, especially internet law. Yeah.
The people who are worried about the punitive laws, to be considered a penalty to share something on the internet, because we have all judges that people don't understand the internet even 50 years before.
Oh well, that's true in the States too, you know. The court system is geared for the physical world and physical crime more than it is the virtual world.
And you know what? Most of crimes committed in Brazil, the common crimes, are committed in Orkut from Google.
Mm.
So if you cut off Orkut, you solve 60% of the crimes. In legally speaking. But Orkut is fast now.
Interesting.
Google Plus is
here. James, go ahead.
Hi. So I wanted to thank Oliver and Michael for sharing these things. Just because I don't have a background in the context of these things, I'm wondering if they might send a brief note to the list for the benefit of the folks who aren't here, as well as those of us who have to then share this with some of our superiors, so that we can make sure that we're doing your comments justice and presenting an accurate picture of the developments in those countries. And just wondering if you would be willing to do that.
Omar, Michael, would you be willing to send a written update out to the group?
Yes, of course, of course.
That would be wonderful. That would be wonderful. And, Michael, did you say you were looking for some precedents of where other search engines have disclosed data or been asked to disclose data?
There are no confirmed information, but yesterday I was in the Russian Ministry of Telecommunications discussing this matter with the high officials, and they mentioned that they have information. They have certain official position of Google Russia on that matter, but I cannot just confirm it with the documents I have in my hands. Overall, what is important that the technical development of internet resources of search engines show that the more sophisticated they are, and they are every day, they become every day, the more information, the more personal information can be searched by them, can be found by them, by those internet resources. And, of course, that would require a certain additional regulation of such phenomenon. And it also shows the environment in which we should take right decisions and right, correct, appropriate recommendations as for the WHOIS policy.
Mm-hmm. Great. Thank you. Thank you very much for sharing this, and good luck with the busy days ahead. My guess is you'll be back on many more panels and many more meetings, so thank you. Great, and I know the rest of the team will be interested in the written updates that you send out to the team, so thanks to both. Any other updates on data protection laws? Okay. Next item, the RFP update from Lynn.
Yes. We have, in spite of the very short time that was allowed for people to submit proposals, we did amazingly receive one, and we got one email message from Boston Consulting Group saying that, you know, that they regretted they were not in a position to respond. So at least they sent a, you know, some kind of a message. What I have been pondering, the deadline was set for Monday a couple of days ago in order to try and keep us on track to get results in time for our working meeting at Marina Del Rey in September. So I've got two questions. I guess one is for the proposal we've received. I did not want to distribute it on our Who Is list because it is a competitive business. I need some confidential way to share it with the rest of the team. And then, you know, the other question I have is, since we've only received one proposal, you know, I don't know if we should consider making an extension and doing some follow-up work with other companies. I did contact, I think it was 6 or 7 companies, in addition to it being publicly posted, but altogether that left really only about 2 weeks for companies to respond. The fact that we got one proposal and reading that one proposal, I mean, it actually looks pretty good. But I mean, that's what I'm kind of debating now is if we decide to extend the deadline and try and solicit, you know, at least a couple of more proposals, then it's going to throw us off our timeline. Yeah. And so I don't know if after everybody sees this one proposal we've received, if it makes sense to, you know, just go with that one company. I don't know. I kind of hesitate on that. So I guess, first of all, Olaf, what's the best way to share the proposal we've received with the rest of the team and not have it on our publicly published Who Is list?
Olaf here. And, well, there are two ways, either distributed to the individual emails, easily done, or put it on a secluded page on the wiki. So I would suggest that Alice and I distribute it to the individual emails, so it's not on the list.
Okay. That would be great if you would do that.
And two more comments. First of all, I did receive a phone call for a company, actually Items International, that were considering, and they said they would submit a proposal. Well, they haven't done so far, but also so far we haven't closed formally the email address for proposals. So
right.
Anything leaks in after the deadline, it can still do so.
Okay.
But from a formal perspective, well, it is and should be regarded as closed, but latecomers could still come in.
Right. We would still receive it, right, if they submitted something. Well, and we didn't have anybody ask us for an extension either.
No.
So I thought about that if there was, you know, a company that wanted to bid and just felt they needed more time, you would think they would have at least submitted a request for an extension.
Makes sense. Olaf, is there any way to get back to the company that contacted you to see if they will be coming through with the proposal?
I can certainly call them back, yes. Easily done.
that would be great, because if we have two, Lynn, if we have two, is that...
I mean, I personally would feel better if we at least had two. I mean, I'm grateful that the one we received, I mean, I haven't done any kind of due diligence on it, but at just reading it, it looks good. And it certainly came within our budgeted amount of money. So
I would agree to that, Lynn.
Yeah. So
congratulations on getting that. The time pressures.
Yeah. So I think if it, if we could, I think the next step is to have Olaf and Alice distribute that one proposal to the group. In a confidential manner to our individual email addresses. And then I think, we need to very quickly decide if we want to go with this one proposal or not. If we don't, then I guess our only other alternative would be to formally extend the deadline and maybe chase some companies. But again, I mean, the trade-off is trying to stay on track with the aggressive timeline that we laid out for ourselves.
Makes sense. Let me throw out a recommendation, see if anyone agrees or disagrees with it. But Lynn, maybe you and Olaf can review the status at the deadline of what's going on and make a recommendation to the team of what you think we should do.
Okay. Because, I mean, the deadline was actually July 25th.
Oh, it's already passed. Okay.
Yeah, so we passed the deadline. And so that's why I'm saying we're kind of like at a point where we have to fish or cut bait. I don't know. I guess that's an American expression, isn't it?
Or even a Southern one.
Yeah.
It's Peter here. Just maybe a question to the ICANN staff. Is there a precedent for this? Like, I mean, if there isn't if the application that we have is fine, and there's no problem from an ICANN point of view, I mean, if we're spending their money, I guess, in terms of a process, if they run a public process and seek tenders, and we get one, and that one meets all our requirements, is there a problem with selecting that one? And if there's not, then we probably just need to decide whether we're happy with it, and then we're okay to go, aren't we? Look at this a bit simplistically, or not?
No, it's very straightforward, and I would say that there's no obligation to make an extension just because we haven't received more. If it's satisfactory from as a proposal.
That's
okay.
Right. So
that's encouraging. Yeah.
There are cases when, for various reasons, you want to do sort of a single source because you have an experience with a particular company and they do have. So, I mean, there are. It's not always a necessity to have. For the sake of competition, to have as many as possible, or at least two, or at least four, in such cases, especially if you're running against a timeline.
Okay, well, that's very reassuring to me, Olaf. And thank you for that question, Peter.
So I think Peter's. Peter's consideration is well put. Of course, I think for due process, I should, like you suggested, contact the ICANN International and hear what actually happened.
Yes.
And perhaps, Lynn, if you have others, well, there is a last-minute possibility, but be that not the case, well, then let's... have a stop or go decision concerning the proposal we received.
But But also, Lynn, you said you would do some due diligence to see who they are and how reputable they are.
Well, what I had in mind was maybe going back to them and asking for references. And
good idea.
You know, and there's a few other things that can be researched about their company and just publicly available information. So I'm happy to do that.
I think that's a great idea. Anybody disagree with that? Thank you for your time in doing it, Lynn.
No problem. And I mean, I could do that right away, because I haven't tried to send an acknowledgement to them, you know, just to say that we received it. I don't know, Olaf, did you send any kind of acknowledgement or?
I haven't as yet, no.
Yeah, so maybe I could do that. I'll send an acknowledgement and thank them for submitting their proposal and ask for client references.
Great, perfect. And then Olaf or Alice will circulate the proposal to our private emails with a notice to everyone not to redistribute or post.
Right.
And we'll all take a look at it, too. That's great. Thank you. Thank you so much. Okay. Anything else on the RFP? Okay. Before we get to Marina Del Rey, I'd like to circle back for a very, very quick discussion, mostly for my benefit, sorry. Highlights of Singapore. I was just wondering, really, Lutz wasn't there, I wasn't there, but just, you know, some quick thoughts on what really struck you or surprised you or pleased you about the many, many amazing meetings you had in Singapore.
Kathy, I would just say that I was pleased at the level of engagement throughout the ICANN community, and I felt like every group we met with really, engaged with us, and that there is a high level of interest. At that meeting, Kathy, of course, the announcement at the opening day, I think it was on Monday. Yeah, that kind of everyone, of course, was preoccupied with that. But then it almost worked to our advantage because that was done like on Monday, it was almost like everybody seemed more attentive and had energy for other issues now. I don't know, that was just my feeling.
The spectrum opened up.
Well, because I think a large number of people have just been preoccupied with that, with the new GTLDs. And so now that that decision's made, then, you know, now there's a whole other set of actions that have and more work that has to be done. But at least that decision is made. So it's almost like it freed up, at least mental energy from people. But that's how I felt. I don't know how anyone else did.
Thanks so much. Anyone else?
This is Susan. I would agree with Lynn. I think all of the groups we met with were engaged. They definitely had their opinions, which they voiced strongly, which was good. We need to hear all of that. And I think the full community realizes what a crucial issue who is. So, you know, it was almost overwhelming at times how much information we were getting. So It was a busy, busy meeting.
Great. Well, one thing that I've noticed is that the transcripts are not posted for many of the meetings. And even then, there aren't summaries. Do you think that the meetings in Singapore are, we have the MP3s, but that's a lot of material to go through, both for team members as well as the public. Do you think, thinking over the meetings, that it would be useful without volunteering anybody yet, that it would be useful to have a paragraph or two summarizing each meeting. Is that something that would be useful to the public in looking at these things later or now or later, as well as to team members that didn't participate?
Well, Kathy, what we did this time in Singapore that we didn't do in San Francisco, and we all agreed that it had really been a good idea, is that we got together, I think it was Wednesday or Thursday?
Wednesday,
after we had had all our different outreach meetings, and we had kind of like a debrief, mm-hmm. and kind of reviewed as a group what all had happened and I think we were all worn out, but it was, I thought that was very effective. And so I think on future meetings, that's a good idea, that in addition to the work session we have, on the weekend before the formal ICANN meeting kicks off, then it's good to have that kind of debriefing.
That's a great idea, and I'll go back and listen to that MP3 in particular and recommend that to Lutz as well. So thank you for pointing that out. Great. Any other comments about Singapore?
It was hot.
Yeah.
It was really hot out.
And muggy?
Yes, I'd never been to Singapore. But the conference rooms were fine.
That's good.
I didn't go out a whole lot.
Well, thanks to everybody who went there. That was a long trip, and thank you. And congratulations again on the excellent response. When people are the word had gotten out, and Emily and I were being contacted by groups who really wanted to meet with us, groups that we had tried to contact the first time around in San Francisco, and as Lynn, I think, said, they were much more interested in GTLDs. And this time, they were reaching out to us early and saying, we want to be on your schedule. So that's the word is out that we're the group to talk to. So that's great. Item number 7 on the agenda, and we're headed towards the end now, Marina Del Rey. Olaf, Alice, is there anything we should know, any questions that you have? Do more people need to fill out the forms on the private section of the wiki? What can you tell us?
Oh, first of all, it's all going to happen at the Marriott Courtyard in Marina Del Rey, the 20th and 21st of September, and lodging as well as the meeting will take place there. As to further updates, I'd call on Alice to say where we are. Are there any prompts? If you haven't come up with your requirements and such, please do so. But Alice, do you have an overview if we're lacking information from some?
We have everyone's information, and we should have we should receive emails from Constituency Travel this week. I'm going to coordinate with Joseph De Jesus, who's our new travel coordinator, and he will be sending emails to everyone as well.
Oh, good.
Great. Thank you for all the arrangements I know you've been doing in the background on this, and for preparing for this meeting. This is an important one. Will there be multiple rooms for us to meet in at the Marriott Courtyard in case we want to divide up or have different groups go in different places?
I think only one room is foreseen, but I'm happy to look into it.
Okay. I think it would be great to have some smaller rooms also. For people to branch off, but we can talk about this and should probably talk about it with Emily, I think. Omar, I think you had raised an issue of coming in a day early in a prior conversation. I don't mean to make you responsible for a comment, but was that something that someone had raised, the need to kind of adjust a little more to the schedule, to the time of the location?
No, it's not important, Kathy.
Okay.
Forget about it.
Okay. I try not to forget about things.
Okay.
But let me ask, Olaf, Alice, is that something ICANN would be amenable to for people coming from long distances to come in a day early so that they can be ready to go on the first day of our meeting?
That's a good question. I don't have a straightforward answer. I mean, I think the general approach would be that, okay, you can come the day before, yes. So, meaning in order to be available for the subsequent morning. But further than that, I don't know our travel regulation by heart, but if it would be staff to do it, I don't think we would be granted the permission to.
Mm-hmm. Well, if anybody wants to, again, especially given what this meeting is and how involved we'll all be in drafting from the first moment the meeting starts, if anyone does want to come in a day early,
you say a day early, Kathy, I mean, I'm assuming that we our travel arrangements would allow us to get there the night before.
Yes, that's perfectly doable.
Yeah. So you mean more? Do you mean getting there further in advance, Kathy? Than
yeah, I could be wrong, but I thought an issue had been raised about getting there further in advance. Especially for people traveling very, very long ways.
Yeah.
So they'd have a full day. And I know when I used to travel for PIR, we would get in a full day early. So we'd come in the night before the meeting.
Yeah.
So that we'd have a full day to adjust to the schedule.
Yeah.
So we'd be on the ground and ready to go.
I think,
the morning the meeting started.
You know, what I kind of recall is that if this were like one of the ICANN meetings, like San Francisco or Singapore, for example, the travel policy, sets a time frame of how early people can arrive. I mean, the actual day they can arrive, and then also how late they can stay. And I think that this particular meeting for our review team, of course, is not one of the big ICANN meetings. So the travel policy doesn't really address it.
Well, if anyone's interested, just write to me or to Emily, and we'll research it. Otherwise, we'll go with whatever we're normally scheduled for. But thanks, Lynn, for the travel policy. Okay, we are at an hour and a half and running to the close of the meeting. Last item on the agenda is any additional business, comments, or questions? Anything else we should be talking about? Great. Then for our next meeting, obviously we'll be talking about the recommendations, the chapters, the new compliance work that's going on, as well as other things Emily would like us to talk about. Thanks for a really good meeting, everyone. And it was good to hear everyone's voices.
Thanks for leading it, Kathy.
Yeah, thanks, Kathy. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Kathy. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Good night.